If you long to experience supernatural joy, if you want to discover where to invest your life in the things that bring deep and lasting satisfaction, and just flat out want God's presence and power in you like never before, then you need to know one thing. And that one thing is what we're going to talk about on Living on the Edge today. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues our series on the Holy Spirit with an often overlooked aspect of our spiritual life, spiritual gifts. What are they? Why are they important? And how do I discover what my spiritual gifts are? Well, if you have to miss a portion of this broadcast, you'll find today's program online when you visit livingontheedge.org. Well, now with his message, How to Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, here's Chip.
Well, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things. We learned He indwells us, He controls us, and one of the great things He does is He gives us spiritual gifts. When you think about a gift, you think about a birthday, you think about an anniversary, you think about surprising someone, you think about the perfect gift. I mean, we give gifts what? To whom? People we care about, to celebrate major things, to remember certain things, and we think about what do I want to give someone that they could really use, that fits them perfectly, and would express our deepest love. Isn't that why we do it? Birthday gifts, anniversary gifts, graduation gifts, special gifts. What I want you to know is that's so true of us humanly, but when you talk to people in the body of Christ, many regular, ordinary Christians, and you bring up the subject of spiritual gifts, you usually have two extremes. Extreme number one on the left is denial. There's lots of people that say, I don't think God gives any gifts anytime, anymore. And then you have people on the other side that are dogmatic about the gifts. There's these or not these, or there's all these. And what I've discovered in the body of Christ is most people are somewhere in the middle, because if you've been around people that say they don't exist, or if you be around people who say, this is the way they exist, and it's got to be like this, and this is how we see it, I find most Christians kind of sort of go to the middle of confusion. I'm not really sure. I don't think I'm going to talk about that, because people seem to argue a lot. And I've done this a lot. But if I ask you to pull out a 3x5 card, and the God who died for you, Jesus, and who rose from the dead, and sent spiritual gifts to you, I will tell you there's probably not two people in 10 that couldn't say on a 3x5 card, this is my primary spiritual gift, this is my ministry gift, this is how I use it, and this is how I make decisions, and this is very important to me, and I understand it clearly. You will not find that in the body of Christ. You ask people, what's your spiritual gift? Well, I think it's mercy, leadership, and sort of administration, hospitality, playing the piano, tacos. I mean, how does that really help you live your life? I don't know. I just took a test once. So are you ready to learn about what spiritual gifts are all about and how it works and how important it is? I'm going to suggest there's four questions everyone needs to ask and answer about spiritual gifts. Number one is super pragmatic. Why bother? Why does it matter that we understand spiritual gifts? I'm going to give you four reasons. One, they're essential for determining God's will. There's people want you to do all kind of things. When you're in your sweet spot, when you're doing what God wants you to do, doesn't it make sense if He has a Ephesians 2:10 calling on your life? You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which before the foundations of the earth, He's called you to walk in. Don't you think He's gifted and designed you to walk in that good work? So you better be doing that, not responding to all the needs everywhere. And if you don't know what your primary spiritual gift is, how will you know where to invest your time and your energy? Second reason, they're God's stamp of approval on your value as a person. Spiritual gifts remind you that you got this gift because Christ died. He loves you. He's for you. You give gifts to people you care about. He gave this gift to you to remind you every time you use your spiritual gift, I must matter. You know, it's like if some of you have had a grandfather give you one of those watch that opens up, and, you know, every time you hold it and you've got that watch, or some people have a little thing around, you know, your neck, and you can open it up and has a heart and has a picture of someone or something engraved. Or some of you for special gifts have a plaque and there's something engraved in it. And it reminds you that whoever gave that to you says you matter. And that's when Jesus gave you a spiritual gift. He wants you to know you matter. He gave it to you, especially for you. And third, when known and exercised, they put you in the place of meeting needs and building deep, meaningful relationships. See, when you know your spiritual gift, it helps in decision making. It literally helps your self-esteem in the positive sense of that. And third, it really solves a lot of the loneliness problem. There's all kinds of Christians that are very, very lonely, that don't feel a part of anything. When you start using your spiritual gifts, you know what you're doing? You're meeting the needs of other people and you're getting close to people. You get connected to people. You're needed. You're helping. Your focus is on what God is doing and other people. And that's the fourth one. It produces something pretty amazing. The byproduct of exercising your spiritual gift is joy. It's joy. I remember learning this the hard way. Teresa and I had gone to Dallas to go to seminary. We went to a large Bible teaching church where a lot of the professors were at the seminary. They had a children's program that was second to none. They had puppets. They had all kind of stuff. I mean, this place ran like crazy. The editor of the NIV Bible taught one class, and he did that on the Psalms, and there was another professor of Christology, and he taught a class. I mean, it was like going to a conference every week. It was unbelievable. I mean, you didn't even have to pay to go to these classes. It was just church. And I remember, you know, we came from West Virginia where like a mega church is like 200 people. I mean, mega church is 200 people, maybe 300. I mean, it's huge. There's only 1 million people in the whole state. And so here's this church of 2,000 or 3,000 people or whatever, and Sunday school class is bigger than any church we've ever been in. These professors and the Hebrew word for this and the Greek words for that. And it's like, we went week number one, week number two, week number three. Like, can you believe this? I mean, it's like we're getting drunk on God's word. And then we got into about week six or week seven, and we had this interesting experience. I'll never forget it. We're getting to the front of the church, ready to open the doors. And I turned to Teresa. I said, do you feel like going to church today? He said, no. I said, I don't either. I said, you want to go to Wendy's? Yeah, okay. So we'd already dropped off our kids. This doesn't sound so spiritual, does it? But we did. So we go to Wendy's, and it was right next to the church, and we sat down, and I said, man, I don't know what it is, but I mean, this is all great, 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 but something's wrong. Something's really wrong. And as we sat down and jotted a few things on a napkin, it was like, you know where I came from? Is I had a Bible study every Tuesday morning with a group of guys, and I was teaching every Thursday night to a group of college students, and this is why I came to seminary, and Teresa was meeting with a group of girls, and what we realized is we were getting, and we weren't using our spiritual gifts. And you know what? The joy factor, we weren't growing. We were getting smarter. Man, I knew more Greek words and Hebrew words and the psalm and a lament. Man, there was stuff I learned to pronounce things like pneumatology, eschatology, and somethingology, you know? I was learning all kind of stuff. But I was shriveling up. And I remember I set an appointment. You know, it was a very large church, and it was my first experience with a large church. So I got an appointment with the pastor. I got on his calendar, so 3 months later, I got to meet with him. And so I thought, you know, I got one shot, and I'm a pretty organized guy when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I wrote down on a 3x5 card, I've done this, I led this kind of ministry, I think my primary spiritual gift is this, I'm open to doing whatever, anywhere in the church, I just want to serve, just put me in the game, you know, kind of thing. And here's a little bit of background, and here's a couple names, if you get a reference, because I know it's a large church, you don't want some wacko. And so we sat down for lunch, and his name was Don Geiger. I said, hi, Don, how you doing? I said, oh, excuse me, I got a card for you, and would you just look this over before we eat? And I gave it to him, and then I faked like I had to go to the bathroom. So I just went into the bathroom, washed my hands, and I thought, I think he's got the card read by now. And then I walk back down, I sit down, and I said, so Don, what do you think? He says, he sounds like you want to get to work, don't you? I said, Don, I know I got a full schedule in seminary. I'm dying. I'm shriveling up. You tell me where you need anybody in this church, and my wife and I are in. We need to use our gifts. And 2 weeks later, we were teaching a sophomore class, you know, high school class, and a few months later we were leading the college ministry, and you know, our whole life changed. The joy factor went up. Kids are in our living room again. Why bother with spiritual gifts? Well, decision making, loneliness, joy, Heck, if that's all that I gave you, that would be enough. Second question you need to ask about spiritual gifts is not just why bother, but what is a spiritual gift? Let's get on the same page. Because as wonderful it is as playing the saxophone or the piano or cooking a great dinner, those are talents. Those are not spiritual gifts. So what is a spiritual gift? Definition: a divine enablement of special ability upon every member of the body of Christ, which fits them for specific and corresponding service. Now, if you will, open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I read it, I want you to circle three words: gifts, service, and workings, depending on your translation. Let's pick it up at verse 4. The question in the Corinthian church is, who's spiritually mature? And about spirituality and maturity, a lot of groups think in this particular church that certain gifts make you really mature. And so Paul's explaining about spiritual gifts. And so in verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service or ministry, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings or manifestations, but the same God who works all of them together. There's only two or three doctrines in all of Scripture that when they're described, the whole Trinity comes together. The Great Commission, redemption. He says here, there are gifts, services, and workings. And notice the Spirit, the Lord Jesus, God, who works all of them in all men. You need to understand, God has given you a gift. I believe a primary or motivational gift. And when you exercise that, I think he will give you ministry gifts. And then as you function in that way, the Spirit of God will cause manifestations of growth to help other people see God for who he is and love them and inspire them and encourage them and heal them and comfort them. A gift, the word is charismata. It simply means used exclusively in the New Testament for a gift. It's not a natural talent. Its root word is charis, which is the grace that's used 150 times in the New Testament. And the idea is beauty or favor in action. That's what a gift is. It's beauty or favor in action. The prefix spiritual or pneumatikos just has the idea of what kind of a gift, it's from the source in the Spirit of God. So God gives something that's for beauty in action. It provides ability. When you have a spiritual gift, you have a supernatural enabling from God. It may align with your natural gifts. It may not. One of the greatest evangelists I ever knew was a man named John Saville. He was the shyest human being I've ever met. But when he came to Christ late in life, and I watched John in an elevator. I mean, the elevator, and that was a really long elevator, you know, like 50 stories. And I was going to lunch with John. And John had come to Christ in his 60s after, going bankrupt two or three times and having some really hard times in his life. And he just loved lost people. And I remember being in that elevator, and I was going to lunch with John, and we're there, and it's Dallas, business suits, pinstripes, the whole bit, and there's three very official people behind us, and I'm here, and John's there, and there's a nice lady in a business suit, and John turns to her and says, "Excuse me?" And she says, "Yes." "Has anyone ever told you how much Jesus loves you?" And I'm going, John. I'm his pastor. He's chairman of the board. I'm thinking, John, you don't know, this is uncool, this is not how you do it. There's three guys in suits. Do you love Jesus? Come on. And she said, "No." He said, "Well, would you like me to tell you?" And her eyes get watery, and she starts to, this is an elevator. This is a 20-second deal. Eyes get watery, tears start to come down. John pulls out a track. He leans over, he reads the first part of the track. He folds it, put it in his hand. He goes, "I own Saville, Dodgen & Company. Tell you what, you come up and give this to my receptionist. I'd just love to tell you about Jesus." And she took that thing and held it. The door's open. She gets out. I'm thinking, how does that work? This is the shyest guy I know. You know why? A spiritual gift is a supernatural enabling. God does something in you and through you that isn't just like supersizing what you are. It's supernatural. It is the ability. It's the qualification. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Bible training is important. Seminary training is important. But I think we've gotten to the day where we're more worried about accreditation than real qualification. I'll tell you, you know what? D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman with a very limited education. He did okay. When I had the privilege of pastoring at Santa Cruz, 12 and a half years, I remember at one point in time, we had about 90 people on staff. We grew from several hundred to a lot of people. And we had about 90-some people on staff. And I looked at one time and I realized we had like 35 people in seminary. But all, guess our staff came out of our church. I think I only hired two or three people on the outside, you know, like counseling and special qualifications. Why? Because they proved that they could do the ministry. They had our heart. They had our DNA. They were producing spiritual fruit. Then what they realized was, I need some training. So I'm not against training, but I want you to know, we've gotten in the day where people think that, well, I haven't been to Bible school, so I guess I can't teach that class, or I can't do that, or I'm not qualified. Here's what makes you qualified. Loving Jesus, being gifted, getting the word, step out. I mean, all through Scripture, it's like these people you would never think God would use. That's who we are. God has given you power. But if you don't know what your gift is, you don't even know where to plug in. So it gives ability, qualification, it gives strength, it gives energy, it gives endurance. When you're in your giftedness, there's joy. Finally, it's about responsibility, ability, qualification, strength. A gift is just like your time. It's just like your money. You're a steward of it. God has deposited in you a supernatural ability to help people in ways where miraculous things can happen. Now think of this. He died. He rose from the dead. He gave you this gift. How sad it would be if you don't know what it is. I mean, what would it be like your six-year-old's birthday? I mean, the one, and you know, he wanted a bike, he wanted a bike, he wanted a bike, he wanted a bike. Oh, could I have a bike? And you get this big box and you put it in, and so he can't tell what it is, and there's a big ribbon, and then you stick it on the, you know, right in the center of the garage, and then you give him the garage door opener. It's your birthday, and he presses it and he opens, and there's the big box. And then he goes, well, I think I'm gonna go play with my friends. But what about the box? Well, I'll do that later. What about the box? Well, how would you feel as a parent? Open the box. That's a $200 bike, kid. You've been dreaming about that. You were made to ride that bike. Open the box. That's how God feels. Some of us have never opened the box. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to use it. You've never got on it and ridden it. And so there's a joy factor in. There's a lot of Christians that are very frustrated and really burned out. And part of that is if you don't open the box, because you're good, sincere people and want to be nice and helpful, and it's really hard to say no, you're on this committee, you help out here, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, and you do that for a few years, and then you get really burned out. And a lot of you used to do all that, and right now you don't do anything. Correct? You don't do anything. It's like, I spiritually retired. I'm going to let those younger people carry the ball from here on out. Where'd you get that? In a John Wayne movie or something? I mean, this life you have and this spiritual gift deposited is until the day you die. And God often will use it in the latter part of your life more than in the earlier part, because you actually now have some life experience and wisdom to go with the gift. But if you don't know what it is, you don't know how to cultivate it, then you miss. So there's a stewardship. The stewardship of your spiritual gift is just like your money, your time, or anything else.
Chip will be back in a minute with some additional thoughts about his message today. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. The message you just heard is from Chip's series called The Holy Spirit, Experiencing His Power and Presence 24/7. Now, this four-part series takes the mystery out of who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives. Chip explains that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power within every believer through the life of the Holy Spirit. Chip brings a fresh, balanced perspective to this sometimes controversial subject and reminds us of the comforting peace the Holy Spirit can provide, regardless of our circumstances. The Holy Spirit, Experiencing His Power and Presence 24/7, is available for a limited time for a special on-air discount price. For complete details, call us at 1-888-333-6003 or check it out online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with a quick reminder.
Before I come back with some very specific application about today's message, I just want to remind you that you're listening to this because some very caring and loving individuals have sacrificially given to the ministry so that we can pay for the airtime, so we can create the programs, and so we can minister to you. And you know, in those early times as you listen to the program, we are delighted to just make it available, and we are thrilled of the team that God's put together. But I'd like to talk to some of you that have become regular listeners and you've benefited. Maybe you've got a CD series, you've done a small group, and you've never considered, I wonder how this gets paid for. Would you consider making a gift today? The Bible is very clear that when we receive spiritual ministry to us, we have a responsibility to help financially fund those who teach and minister to us. And what I want you to know is we use all the resources to go right back into the ministry. We want to help Christians live like Christians. And so if you've been benefiting from the ministry and you've never given, or you've given now and then and realize maybe God wants you to be a part of the team, would you consider today partnering with us? You can do it any way God leads you, but would you take that next step and be a part of getting Living on the Edge and what God's doing through it to the lives of many more people?
Thanks, Chip. Well, if Living on the Edge is ministering to you and you've not yet partnered with us financially, would you prayerfully consider doing that today? It takes a team to do what God's called us to do, and we're inviting you to help us help Christians live like Christians. You can give a gift online at livingontheedge.org, or if you prefer, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. On behalf of Chip and the staff here at Living on the Edge, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Now, with some final thoughts, here's Chip.
As we close today's program, I talked about how to discover your spiritual gift. And, you know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of debate on this. And actually, in my journey of about 30 years as a Christian, I've certainly heard a lot of people argue about spiritual gifts. And then I've kind of gone the route of asking people, so what is your primary spiritual gift? And I usually get some blank stares, or, you know, people rattle off 7 or 8 different gifts. And then I usually follow up with, okay, if that's maybe one or some of these 6 or 7 or 8 spiritual gifts, how does that help you make good decisions? And what difference has that made in your life? And I usually get another blank stare like, duh, it really hasn't. And I had an experience when I was teaching in Russia that forced me to go to the Bible and for a group of pastors, help people discover clearly and practically their spiritual gift so it made a difference in how you prioritize your life, what you do with your life, and how you get a handle on it. And I touched on it in this series, but what grew out of my time in Russia was a teaching called Your Divine Design. We put it in small group DVD. It's very clear. It's an 8-part DVD series that literally thousands and thousands of people have gone through. And here's what they tell me. You know something? The light came on. I understand my primary spiritual gift. I am realigning my life around what God made me to do. My joy factor is really up, and my impact factor is beyond what I ever dreamed. Here's what I got to tell you. If something is sparking in you and you're thinking, you know, in this season of your life, you really want to discover your spiritual gift, let me encourage you, go to our website or give us a call and get the series, Your Divine Design. You'll be glad you did.
That's a great recommendation, Chip. What's perfect is that series, Your Divine Design, is one of the discounted resources we're making available right now. Because we know not everyone's at the same pace on their spiritual journey, we've discounted several resources so you can find the one that best suits you and your next faith step. It's our March focus called You Were Made for More. Just go to our website, livingontheedge.org, and click You Were Made for More. That's livingontheedge.org, and click You Were Made for More. Well, be sure to be with us again tomorrow as Chip wraps up his message, How to Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.